The expressed views of the guests on this podcast are theirs alone and not necessarily endorsed by the host, TWBC, or any associated sponsor. Conversations that are robust yet balanced, on point and to the point. You're listening to The Talk of Tournament Water Ski. This is the TWBC podcast. And now, here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this edition of the TWBC podcast. My name is Tony Lightfoot, and glad to have the pleasure of your company. And we've got some special guests here on the Rocky Mountain Pro special edition of the TWBC podcast. I've got a couple of Chilean trickers, and they are the very best from their country. So on my right is the man they call Speedy Gonzalez. It is Matty Gonzalez. How are you doing?
All good, Tony. How are you?
Not too bad. If you can respond just one more time so I can get your levels. How are you doing?
All good, Tony. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. And to my left is a fantastic tricker and overall skier, making a little bit of a comeback this season due to injury the season before, and it is Tincho. How you doing?
Hey Tony, all good. How are you doing?
Not too bad. So, all right. So, what should we talk about? Let's talk about your path into the sport, how you got involved, and you know, what were the circumstances for each of you getting in the sport. And I'll let Martin Labro answer this question first. So, how did you get into the sport? You know, because it's quite a big family affair in this respect, isn't that right?
Yeah, that's right. I started water skiing when I was 4 years old. When my mom married my stepdad, now it's my dad, Tony Miranda, and he got me into water skiing since I was 4 years old. And since then, I've been loving the sport and loving the water. So, yeah, here we are 16 years later.
Wow, that sounds pretty intense. What about you, Matty? How did you get involved in the sport of tournament water skiing?
Yeah, I started skiing when I was 2 years, just like next to the boat, and then slowly getting better. Started fun, maybe on the weekends, sport. My dad was a skier. And then my sister, Valentina, and then we're all that were water skiers. So we started like that, and then now we all compete.
Okay, let's go into the brass tacks a little bit with the environments in which you train in. I'll refer this question a little bit more to you, Matty, to start off with. I mean, whereabouts do you train? Because it's I mean between the two of you, your the lakes in which you train at is about 5 or 6 kilometers, isn't it? Between
each
one.
Yeah, it's 10 minutes away, so it's really close. I mean, we train in different lakes, but we train sometimes together. We go to tournaments together, so we ski a lot together, and that's really fun. I mean, to ski with my friends and with, I mean, yeah, he's one of my best friends, so he always goes to all the tournaments with me.
But a bit of a rival as well, and you know, because I mean, you're always chasing each other points wise, you know, and. You know, kind of describe the environment in which you train at, because you train at a lake that's hosted many, many major tournaments, Pan American Games, Pan American Championships, World Championships in one guise or another. So, I mean, you've got access to like a world class site.
Yeah, I mean, my whole life I've been skiing at the Mirandas. Also, we used to ski together when they didn't have their own lake. They used to ski with us. So yeah, we've been, like Matty said, we've been skiing together our whole life, and it's pretty nice, pretty cool to have someone you want to chase and the one you're like actually facing every single day and trying to beat him every single day. It pushes the level up way more than it would be like just training alone. So it's been a pleasure. It's been such a great opportunity to be there training with him, and also such an amazing lake that you said that hosted a lot of Latin American, Pan American games, and also the World Championships like the Mirandas.
Okay, so when you're not competing in water skiing, I mean, you're still in school right now, aren't you?
Yeah, it's my last year. I finished in December, so yeah.
I bet you can't wait to get out of
Yeah, I can't wait to finish, but yeah. Yeah, when I'm not skiing, I'd like to I play golf a little bit with Tincho. I mean, he plays more than me. He's better than me.
Oh, this is a subject that I can get.
He's better than me. Yeah, I like to play golf.
How much better? I mean, is his handicap a little bit better than yours?
Yeah, his handicap is better.
Okay, so let's talk about that a little bit. Let's talk about the competitive nature between the both of you. But to round off on the previous question, you're not in school anymore, are you?
No, I started college last year.
Okay, what college are you attending right now?
I mean, it's called FEN, Chile University. It's like University of Chile, it's called.
Okay. Yeah. So not the the National Catholic University or anything?
No, like no. It's like the competition of that one. It's pretty good.
Okay. So what are you hoping to become? What is your studies doctor leading you to?
What?
Okay, you've got the, okay.
No, I'm kidding.
You wanna answer for him?
No, that's not even.
No, I'm stuck.
I would have believed it too. I mean, you've definitely got the mental acuity to be a doctor. You know,
whether the
discipline is there or not, I'm not too sure. But what are you looking to become?
No, I'm gonna be I'm studying business and finance. So yeah, that's what I want to work on and what I want to be like. When I finish skiing and when I start working, a businessman, yeah.
Want to be a businessman. Now, actually, admittedly, that sounds far more believable than doctor.
Yeah, a little bit more.
I mean, doctor. He's a really good student, so.
Yeah, I would like to see what Matty answers to that question. What's he want to study?
I have no idea yet.
No, you've got no ideas.
I have to have to finish first, and then I'll decide.
I've heard some rumors that he wants to go to college in the U.S.
Okay, so who on earth could recruit him? I mean, what colleges would you say that Matty is going to be best suited?
Which one do you think I will look better?
I think I'll...
Which one would look better?
I'm pretty sure he's going to Rawlings. I think he's going to Rawlings. He loves Rawlings, so yeah. I think his decision is either FSC or Rawlings. That's my guess.
Yeah, that certainly sounds believable. I mean, they're definitely looking for a somewhat a decent tricker and slalomer, but they're also looking for someone who can jump as well. Would you?
I can jump.
You can jump.
No,
19.9 meters. That's my PB, Tony. What do you think about that?
Yeah, 19.9 meters.
It's not bad.
It's not bad. It's not bad, you know. But I mean, you're gonna have to bump up your numbers a little bit.
Yeah, the only problem is that I quit like a couple of years ago, so I have to go back.
So you actually have to borrow someone else's jump skis.
No, I still have my jump skis. They're really small.
Yeah, they're gathering dust somewhere.
Yeah, they're like old school, like really small.
But yeah, like 72s.
Yeah.
Yeah, the last time I jumped, I was jumping on 73 or 74.
No, mine's are 78. Goodman's 78, so I can start still jump.
All right then.
I
so
have to start working on slalom too.
Yeah, I mean, but your slalom and your technique and style is certainly unusual. I mean, certainly a little bit more. I won't go so far as to say stylish, but I mean more technically diverse than Tincho over here. So let's describe a little bit about what your slalom technique is about there.
I don't know, Tony. Like, I've been trying to change it a little bit because sometimes it doesn't work like to open that much. But yeah,
I have to
start working on more slalom. I haven't done that much this year. So yeah, after last year, I stopped a little bit, but now I'm getting back.
Now, Tincho, you're an overall skier, so I mean, you have to work on slalom and jump as well as tricking. So, kind of, give us a little bit of a brief description of how your slalom style is. I mean, first of all, with what your personal best is.
My personal best is 3:39 in tournament. I mean, I've been training a lot of slalom, trying to figure it out and trying to like maybe understand it more than just skiing, go out there skiing. Because I used to just go out there and have fun and just like see what happens, and now just trying to learn from it, just know what mistakes I'm doing so I can fix it. And right now I'm just trying to understand it and try to feel and to think what the ski's doing and what I'm doing wrong and what I'm doing right. And right now we're focusing on just like trying to generate speed and be light and have more like the rhythm and more swing behind the boat.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. You know, I mean, training with an objective and a purpose rather than just going out there and just running sets back to back to back. You know, with with nothing really to show for it except maybe a few attempts at 11.25 meters or 10.75. Tricking. Let's talk about tricking. You know, because I mean, each of you has a different technique and style. You know, let's talk about your style. Let's go with toe tricks first. You know, because I mean that's the pass in which you're pretty much known for. What made you come to the conclusion that says, okay, if I'm going to do toe tricks, I'm going to do them like...
I don't know, Tony. Like, I don't think about, like, going fast. I mean, just try to control and it happens. Like,
it doesn't look like you're in control.
Yeah, sometimes I feel like, all right, I'm maybe, like, in a round just, like, to make it to finals, I try to go and maybe try to go slow. Maybe it doesn't go, but, yeah, try to control more and... Yeah, and I get the speed. I don't know why and how, but yeah, I get the speed and it's pretty fast.
Okay,
but Tinch is really fast too. He's faster than me, I think.
Maybe sometimes, you know, but Tincho has an ace in the hole right on the very first trick, which is a reverse toe wake 5 back.
Yeah.
Up until the time that you did it at the Swiss Pro Tricks, you know, so many, many years ago, I've never seen anyone even remotely try it. It's a high-risk trick, you know, and high-risk in a lot of different areas. So what made you come to the conclusion, like, saying, okay, if I need to beef up my run, I need to start with something like this? And did anyone influence you in that decision-making?
Yeah, for sure. I remember training in Santiago in January of 2023 when we had the Worlds over there. And Tanguy Bennett was there, and he told me, yeah, why don't you try it?
Just yeah, go. That sounds like Tanguy.
Yeah, just go try it. Why not? And I was, like, a little scared, so I did it, like, a couple of times, like, not really trying to land it, just try and go feel it. And after that, it was pretty easy, actually. I don't fall that much on that trick. It's not that hard that how it looks. It's, like, it looks harder than what it actually is. Because, mm-hmm. like, when you land, you land kind of in a good position to go to the toe-wake back-to-back, so it's not that hard of a trick. But, it's 100% Tanguy Bennett idea.
So what goes through your mind when you approach the trick course and right there you're in a toe-5 back wrap and you're approaching the wake? Do you just try and clear your mind and use your training to guide you through for the initial few tricks? Or are you thinking something really, really specific to make the trick happen and to land it and ride away safely?
Just like go with like a rhythm. I usually like pull out a little bit to the out of the wake and then go in tight. So just do a good like pull out and then go in. Just like have a good rhythm to set up to for a good pass. That's what helps me a lot to do a good run and think about one trick at a time and not thinking like, okay, so the last trick of the run, so I can make it in. No, just like try and think if I'm on the toe wake 5 back, think about that one and then the toe wake back to back, then the toe back to back until I finish the run.
Okay, and as Matty pumps his fist there as Ridge comes round and gets ready for another jump. Yeah.
40 meters.
Wow. Yeah, exactly 40 meters. Yeah, well done. You know, so, I mean, when you saw that reverse toe wake 5 back for the first time,
that was...
I mean, what was your initial reaction, Matty?
I mean, when he did it, he looked really easy. I was like, all right, maybe I should try it. I tried
and
once.
Have you?
I tried once and I was like, no, I'm not trying this. I mean, you have to like be over your ski and control. I mean, he said it's not that hard, but when you have the control, it's easy. But maybe it's a guy that doesn't have the control on the toe trick. It won't be that easy.
Yeah, with the rapid way in which you turn your toe tricks in the middle of your wake and over the wake, you know, it's probably hardly surprising, you know. So in that respect, we talked a little bit about toe tricks. How about hand tricks, you know, because that's where the bulk of each of your points comes. And I'll ask Matty to kind of describe the tricks that form part of your run and how you go about producing them.
Yeah, so right now I have, like, in hands, I'm not that good compared to the other guys. I'm, like, maybe I didn't do that many points like the other guys. But, yeah, I'm starting to work on new tricks to add, maybe skilling 7. I've landed a couple times already this year, so start working on it and maybe try to put that trying to put it for a run, maybe for next season. And hopefully I could put it in the run and maybe try to put a bigger score.
Now, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, I think in hand ski we've seen so many like innovations, like Supermove 5 and Supermove and all the new tricks that Joe Polin has done and many people have done now. It's pushing the ski, like the ski level, to a whole new level. And now with this point changes coming in 2027, we're gonna see a lot of new runs and new tricks, and people just wanted to like improve way too much. So that's been my focus actually, also in the Skiing 7, working on it, and also on this Supermove 5, and see what I can do to be at a good level on 2027 as well.
Okay, let's talk about the point changes, you know, because they come into effect in October, at the end of October, toward
next year after Worlds.
They change it after.
Yeah.
Okay, because yeah, I thought it was coming up.
It was gonna change before. It was gonna change in November, I think, and now they were like, "All right, so this is gonna be like new points for Worlds." So,
okay,
after Worlds.
Okay, after the upcoming Worlds, which is in January of next year. Okay, but let's talk about those point changes. You know, because there are new flips, there are new ways of turning them super mobs and what have you. You know. It's going to be about a year before you can actually add them to your run and actually get the points assigned. But what kind of flips are you looking at doing? And I'll refer to Tincho for the first answer on this one.
For sure, I'm trying to do the Supermove 5. That's the trick I've been practicing the most. I've landed a couple of times, so yeah, I feel it's a good trick to have in the run, because it's like safer than, I don't know, the monkey that Jake does it, or like regular Supermove. I think it's a safer trick and it's a bigger trick, so you have to have like a good energy, and once you have it, it's easier than the Supermove.
Now, I'm going to ask the same question for you, Matty, but also in addition to that, I mean, are there any changes that you're making to the boat speed and what have you, you know, to try and beef up the wakes a little bit to make some of these newer, more innovative tricks a reality, at least from a consistency point of view?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been trying new flips yet. I have to start maybe now when the summer in Chile is. I mean, I've been... These last 2 weeks, I've been trying Supermove again. I landed it once like 3 years ago, and then I stopped doing it. And now, like, it was really hard to do it after a long time. I couldn't do it, so I have to start doing it again. Maybe reverse front flip. Like, I don't know how I cannot do it. I don't get the rotation, so yeah, I have to start doing that, and hopefully I have it for next year.
Okay, so... So as we go along into the discussion of the flips and what have you and the new point tricks, now as we continue to talk about the points values for them coming up, one of the things that is in the discussion for trick skiing is how the tricks competitions are scored at this level. Now, most tournaments are judged at a fairly conventional level, but then some other tournaments use iTrick, and I know that it's been a mode of contention for a lot of skiers for many, many years now. And I'll ask you, Matty, on this one, how do you feel at the tournaments where they are scoring with iTrix? I mean, is it a fair and equitable system as far as you're concerned?
Yeah, I think iTrix is doing like really good. I mean, that's really good for a tournament. You get the scores really fast, but it's really good when they're using it good. Some tournaments are not using it good. Like, they're stopping it too much, and maybe they're stopping like the, you know, that you can stop the video and then you can ride the tricks. Maybe they're stopping it just like before taking the wake, and then maybe they see like pre-turns and they're gonna cut the trick. So I feel we have to start working on that. Maybe make a new rule, and I don't know. Maybe they can have like three times that they can stop it the run, because if you cannot like remember like the trick, like the run, maybe you're not capable to be a judge. So
So you're thinking that the trick scoring with the system just leads to micromanagement rather than just like pure scoring?
Yeah, I feel like the iTrick is great, but when they're using it good, sometimes tournaments that like maybe they're not using it great. I mean, yeah, it's just part of the sport. I mean, they have to. It's just a new program that's coming out, so maybe in a couple of years it's gonna be better. But yeah, that's what I think.
How about you? What's your opinion on how tricking is scored using iTrick?
Yeah, for me, I mean, I love it. It's a great new like way to see the sport and to judge the tricks. You can judge it for actually anywhere in the world. We can be skiing here in Canada and they can judge it from Colombia. We've had some tournaments doing that, and it's pretty cool. So yeah, I also think the same thing that Matty says, that sometimes the judges don't know how to use their program very well, so they stop the trick like just when they get to the wake or when they like lifting up from the wake, so that makes a little bit like controversial,
or they're slipping a positional lead somewhere where they haven't noticed it, and they end up doing scoring like a ski line no instead of like a ski line five front.
Yes, so that's the issue that we're having. But like I think it, like what Matty says, that in a couple of years with more training and everything, so maybe like stopping it twice or maybe not in the spots that are controversial, it will be like such a great idea. I love it actually.
Okay, you're raising the microphone there, Matty. There, it looks like you have something else.
No. It was just because there, and then you looked at me. I was like, oh, he's gonna kill me because I have the microphone on the table. But no. I mean, I feel it's great, but yeah, I think we have to give them a couple of years, and they can do better. Maybe more practice, but yeah, that's a great idea, and I think it's helping the sport like so much. And yeah, I love. Like in my case, I love like having the score. I mean, knowing the score of the skier before me. So that's, I think that's great. So yeah, I think it's going to help the sport, but maybe in a couple of years that they're still working on it. Maybe the time, because they time the runs over there too. So maybe they're having a couple problems timing over there, but yeah.
Okay. Now, a couple of other competitors were actually mentioned during the earlier course of this podcast, you know. So, I mean, it'll be nice if I can get an opinion as to what they think about people like Joel Poland and Jake Abelson, and even skiers such as like Axel Garcia, who won the European Open Men's Championship recently, and even skiers you know, like Daniela Filchenko that's in the mix as well, that have tricked over 12,000 points. So I'm going to give each of you the chance to mention up to two or three skiers and just to give us their opinion about their abilities out there and what they like about the tricking ability. So we'll start with you, Martin.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Joe Poland, we all know that he's a superstar. He's a sensation. In all three events, he's run 41 off. He's jumped over 230 feet and he's tricked more than 12,000. So he's such a great skier, and he's such a great athlete, and he's just like such a good person overall. So he's a model to for me. He's an idol, and I just want to compete against him, and my dream is to beat him actually in a world. So yeah, that's what I
worlds.
Want. And
now you have to get past this guy first. Yeah. You know, let start thinking about beating Joel Poland, you know. But Matty, anyone else that comes to mind?
I mean,
aside from Tincho here.
Yeah, like Joel's like one of the best skiers in the world. What Tincho said about like overall is like unbelievable. 230, 12k, and running 41, that's crazy. But yeah, I know. I mean, Jake, he's coming really good. Team skiing pretty good. He's jumping really big and slalming really good. So yeah, there's like a lot of skiers that are going really good. Erika's tricking really good. Yeah, so there's a lot. It's hard to choose. Yeah, to choose one.
I know, and aside from Joel Poland, you completely breezed over all of the other European trickers, you know. So I mean, let's mention the likes of Axel Garcia. Yeah, I mean, because he's one of the very few people this season that I've actually seen ski out of a ski line seven back.
Yeah, I've seen his ski line seven. That was great. He's like a crazy tricker. I mean, he loves tricking, and he's really good. For flips, he's actually really good. He's learning new flips. He tricked 12-3, I think, like a couple of weeks ago. So he's tricking really good. He's coming really good. And hopefully we can see him in a couple tournaments here. But yeah, I know it's hard to come from Europe to these tournaments.
And what about you? Anyone else you want to mention, Martin?
Yeah, just Axel. Like, we saw him last week winning the Europeans. He looked amazing, enhanced, like, with the pass with the super move and the ski line seven, landed it perfectly. I think if he can work a little bit more on his toes, he's gonna be just like right there, and he's gonna be like a really good threat for us and compete against us. So it'll be really fun to see him, like, how he will develop in the next years.
All right, then. So each of you is going to have a really, really busy season coming up. I mean, because I know that, Matty, you're still eligible for the U21 Worlds, I believe.
Me too.
And both of you, yeah. Which is going to be in Peru.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. January. Then come February, you've got the Elite Worlds. Then Moomba Masters.
Then Swiss.
Then Swiss, okay, but then you've got other tournaments towards the middle part of the season, the Pan American Games.
Yeah,
July, I think.
In July, and in October, you got the Pan American Championships.
No, they're now.
They're this year.
This year.
October. They're this year. Okay, October, so let's start with that.
Yes. October we have Pan Ams in Paraguay, and then November we have Latins in Chile.
Yeah, so now, actually, right now in September, we have the South American Games, like the Pan Am Games, but only for South America.
The Odesur Games.
Yeah, the Odesur. So it's a pretty important game for our country, for our, like, Team Chile and everything. So yeah, I'm excited to go over there to ski. And yeah, as you said, it's just like a long, really long one season, except for, like, because we have, like, these two worlds coming up in January and February. But yeah, just like trying to prepare and have like some like time off, like trying to figure out when we can take the time off so we can keep on going for the next tournaments.
Okay, as you talk to us about the Pan American Games, Pan American Championships, and Odesur Games and whatnot, you know, very few people outside of Latin America understand the intensity and the importance that is given to these multi-sport games, you know, because I mean if you talk about the Pan American Games in the United States of America, they look at you funny. Then they just
on the Olympics.
They don't understand the importance of these games to the Latin American athletic community, because, you know, it's fair to say, and you came through with an answer just there, that for Latin America, these games, the Latin American Games, the Pan American Games, the Odesur Games, they're your Olympics, essentially, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the most important for us is the Pan American Games, and then that's when the Odesur comes in, because, like the Team Chile gets the funding for these events, like to cover all the expenses and have a good like development for having a great score and have a good to get more medals and everything for these two, like the Pan American Games and also the other tour. So that's why it's so important to all of us.
Okay, so I mean, aside from funding for what you guys do training wise, I mean, what else does Team Chile bring to the table for you guys beyond that scope that most people don't really know of? And
yeah, just Team Chile also support us a lot with like training programs and rehab programs. When I got injured last year, I did all my rehab at the training facilities that they have. So, and it was for free. So yeah, they have like such a great like team over there that helps a lot, and they just want to help the athletes to get the better shape and maybe help them to get the best performance that they can get.
Yes, and Matty can probably speak a little bit to the media exposure that's given by Team Chile and for the nation as well. You know, because you're all over TV. You know, maybe not yourself, or maybe you are, but I mean, just the general. The sport of tournament water skiing as part of Team Chile. So kind of give us an idea of how well exposed tournament water skiing is in Chile on the backs of your performances between the two of you.
Yeah, the TV always...
Yeah, go for it.
The TV always supports water skiing because they... I mean, we always get money for the... medals for the...
Yeah.
For the Team Chile. So, yeah, that's what they... They like us, so always we have medals. Pan Am Games, we had gold, silver, and two bronze. Yeah, me and Tincho. So, I mean, the TV and the media, it's always there, and that's great for us because we get like more
exposure.
Yeah, exposure, and maybe more sponsors. And yeah, Olympic Committee has always been there helping us. We have, I mean, physios, everything. So yeah, that's great. And yeah, I think that's one of the most important things.
Anything you want to add to that, Martin?
I think Matty says it like perfectly. Yeah, like having the exposure that the Team Chile has. I think they have like, I don't know, like 100,000 followers. So yeah, just like being able to get on their posts and their like stories and everything gets us like way more exposure and help us to get more sponsors and get more people to watch the sport.
All right, then, as we try and put a button on this episode of the TWBC podcast, before I let both of you go, what are your prime objectives for the season, Martin? I mean, what is going to be like your ultimate goal?
For this season, yeah, the Odesur Games and for the next season, for sure, the Under-21 Worlds and Elite Worlds, that's where I want to be in the best shape and I want to have the best performance in the whole season. But yeah, just trying to get better each day and each training session. So yeah.
All right then, what about you, Matty?
Yeah, I think the same. All the sources are going to be really important. I mean, for the country it's really important. So I mean, I'm going to try to do my best. It's in a new lake, so it's going to be our first time there. It's going to be in Argentina, so yeah, it'll be fun. I mean, I'll compete against Tincho and a couple of skiers more, so it's going to be really fun. And then, yeah, we have Pan Ams in October.
The Odesur Games is going to be over at, you say it's a new lake, is it Arquimadas Lake? Or
No, it's in Rosario.
Yeah, it's like an open lake.
Open lake, so yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's where, it's near the Georgis, Toby Georgis and Fran.
Okay.
They live around there, so yeah. It's going to be fun. Hopefully we can do good, and hopefully we can get a lot of medals for the team. And then, yeah, for next season, yeah, of course, Worlds, it's going to be really important for us. Yeah, it's going to be, like, really hard season because it's gonna start really, like, pretty early. Much early. So, yeah, we're not going to have that much time to rest. But, yeah, we'll try to figure out when we can rest. And then, yeah, hopefully we can do really good in those tournaments.
All right, then, and that brings to a conclusion the TWBC podcast. Any parting words, thanks, acknowledgements? Start with Matty first.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you, Tony, for this. It always helps to be here with you. It's really fun. And yeah, thanks to all my family, sponsors, and yeah, all the team that's been supporting me.
And as Tincho looks over his shoulder to see who's jumping, who is jumping out there right now?
I have no idea, actually.
Hayden.
Hayden. He's looking pretty good out there.
Okay, acknowledgements and thanks and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, thank you, Tony, for having us. It's always a pleasure having to chat with you for a couple of minutes. Really nice. Also, my family, my sponsors, and everybody in Chile that helps me out. Also, in my rehab last year. Thank you, guys, and yeah, we'll see you later.
All right, then, and that concludes this edition of the TWBC podcast. More episodes will be coming down the pipe very, very soon. But until next time, it is ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast.
Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.